Well, today we are moving on in our thought of experiencing a Rhema moment and the fact that true healing, transformation, change comes from the Word of God and only from the Word of God. We can change a little bit of stuff in our lives, but we can't change our position. When we are born into this world, we are born into death. That's it, because of sin. But when God speaks that word into our lives, when God brings that Rhema moment into our lives, we become something new. We are transformed. We are healed. We are restored. We are rejuvenated. We are regenerated. We are new in Christ Jesus. We are finally and truly alive. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
So today, I want us to think about the thought, does God really have a word just for me? Now, I want you to notice in there the me is in capital letters. That is by no means saying that you are deity. Okay? It is by no means saying that you are above God. It's simply stating that I want you to own the me. It's you, right? Does God really have a word for you? And that's what we're going to deal with today. But if we're going to deal with it, I got to go back. I got to look at where we've already been to take you where we need to be. We were kind of talking about that in the men's thing today, that don't forget where you came from. Isn't it neat how God ties things together? And I wasn't even there, but for the last 15 minutes. God was there the whole time. And He was with you ladies too. Woo-hoo. Or how does that go, Miss Beth? No, that was... No, Miss Beth, because I would go for the men, woo, woo, and Miss Beth would go, there you go. Mine just doesn't go quite that high, you know, mine's a little, so I just can't do that. But we need to go back, we need to look back, and I want us to look back to where we started. God wants to speak into our life, a Rhema moment. How can I make that statement, okay? How can we know that? Well, it's funny because we just sang the song up there, why were we created? To praise God. The reason I live is to worship you. See, the music ties in here, folks. Okay, the music ties in here, and this is a reality. We are created. What is the purpose of life? How many of us want to ask God that question when we get to heaven? How many of us want to ask God that question when we get? What's the purpose of life? He already told us. It's to have communion with Him. Because it's only in true life that we can commune with Him. It is only as we are alive in Him that we can commune with Him. It's to worship Him. He wants that relationship. But we also looked at that reality that to have a Rhema experience, we need to be active in seeking God. We looked at Elijah, who had to travel a long distance to get away from his circumstance, okay? Because here he had just seen the mighty hand of God. You know, I want you to think about this. Here's a man who just saw God with fire from heaven, not just lick up an offering, but the very stones that it was put upon and the water that was poured upon it. All of it gone, up to heaven. And he's afraid of a woman. Come on, guys. Now, I don't mean that disrespectfully, ladies. What I'm saying is he was afraid of a mere mortal. Okay? He just saw the divine. He just interacted with the divine, and he was afraid of a mere mortal because they can kill me. Wait a minute. They can't take your life. They may take this body and kill it, but they can't take your life. Only God can take life and give life. Amen? And so God had to get him away. He had to get him out of his circumstance, and he had to get quiet. He had to come alone, to be with God, and get quiet. And we need to do that in our lives. The second person we looked at was Jesus. Now this one, if you can wrap your head around this one, you are a better man than many throughout history. God had to get alone to be with God. Do you grasp that? God had to get alone to be with God. How comes we think we can be about everything and anything, bouncing here and there and to and fro, and God's going to talk to us the whole time? We're out there, you know, all this stuff is going on, and you know, I don't need to get quiet. God's going to talk to me. I think He needs to. And we need to get quiet. We need to get away. The third person we looked at was Moses. Here Moses was out there being about his to-do, right? He had a whole bunch of sheep he was taking care of, and he sees this thing up on the mountain, something different, something peculiar, all right? How many of us see something different, something peculiar, and we say, well, I'm getting away from that. It might hurt. Or that's outside of my realm, and I just don't want to deal with that. God may be calling you to that person with purple hair standing on the street corner. God may be talking to you about that beggar laying in the gutter. God may be talking to you about that burning bush. And He wants you to leave your to-do, your sheep, whatever it may be. He'll take care of them and go be with Him. Okay? The next thing that we looked at, and the neat thing about Moses, okay, Moses went to be with God, right? Did he know he was going to be with God? Absolutely not. He had no idea what was going on. So you see, God does this stuff when we don't even know what's going on. Did Elijah know that God was going to talk to him? Absolutely not. He was running for his life. He was scared to death. Okay? The only one who knew what was going on was Jesus. You know, this is where Sunday school pays off. Yes, Jesus. Okay? He's the answer to everything, right? That's why we have discipleship. We're getting away from Sunday school and we're being taught the truth. But we need to look at God. We need to understand that God will use our circumstances. What we learned last week. God will use our circumstances to get us where He wants us to be. Because you see, God has a plan for our lives. And Brother David did a really wonderful job on that. God has a plan for our lives. Jeremiah 29:11-12. You know, in my life verse. I have a plan for you, declares the Lord, a plan to prosper you and not to harm you. Woo-hoo! How many of you have that plan for your life? At least you think you do. But God truly has a plan. I want you to think about it. Saul, you know, Brother David spoke about Saul. Saul was out there looking for donkeys. He was out there looking for donkeys. And what did he end up doing? He ended up finding God because his servant said, hey, look, we have no idea where we are, where the donkeys are. Let's go talk to God and see if He knows what's going on. Did they find the donkeys? No. No. But Saul found God's direction, didn't he? And then we moved on. Brother David talked about Peter. Here's Peter, impetuous Peter. We all love Peter. We're all Peter, right? All of us are Peter. We're impetuous. We have our way about ourselves. We want to do our thing. And then all of a sudden God shows up and we feel so stupid. I see people nodding their heads and smiling because we've all been there. Amen. And here's Peter. He just wants to go fishing. I just don't know what to do. I'm going fishing. Sounds like me, you know? I'm going fishing. That's easy. I can handle that. Well, here he is, a professional fisherman, goes out there, fishes all night long, and he catches a whole boatload of fish. Wrong. He goes out there and doesn't catch anything until he hears the rhema. And then he casts the net on the other side of the boat at the wrong time of day and catches so many fish that the nets can't contain it. They start tearing. He meets God. God speaks a word. And all of a sudden, he's no longer a fisherman. He's now the head fisher of men. And then we looked, the last one that we looked at here was Paul. Oh, Paul. Where would we all be without Paul? Here's Paul. He's doing God's will. He's out there persecuting this new upstart thing that's speaking about a Messiah that's come, and we know for certain that the Messiah hasn't come because Israel hasn't been raised up, and the temple is you know, not where it's supposed to be in the life of the entire world, and you know, we're going to be people of power, and so we're going to go out there and we're going to crush this thing because this is God's will. How many of us have ever been there in our lives? God told me. Until you really hear from God, and then He really tells you, doesn't He? And that's exactly what happened to Paul. Paul was out there riding high on his horse, and God knocked him right off of that sucker. Put him on the ground and blinded him. Because he was truly showing Paul exactly where he was. He was blind to the truth. And God set Paul on the right path. Paul became the very thing that he was persecuting, unto the point that he gave his life for it. Think about that. That's irony. That's irony. I want you to think about each one of these people, with the exception of Christ, for obvious reasons. He is God. But the rest of these people that I spoke of, they're people of our world. When we look at Elisha, and Moses, and Saul, and Peter, and Paul. They were just people doing people things. But then God showed up. Why? Because we were created to have a relationship with Him. God wants to be intimately involved in who we are. So then I have to think, does God really have a word just for me? Each of these people was 100% off track. Their lives were nowhere close to where God wanted them. They needed the healing touch, the word of hope, the Redeemer's restoration. Are we any different? Is God still speaking into the lives of everyday people? Jesus Christ, the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. Can I get an amen? Amen? Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Can I get an amen? Amen. What do these flowers represent? At Ma's funeral. No, at Ma's graduation. When I made the invitation, seven people. What's the number of perfection, Whitey? Seven people looked up at me, and when I nodded, every one of them nodded back at me. Seven souls came into heaven. Seven souls received a rhema moment. Does God really have a word just for you? Turn with me. Two scriptures I want to turn you to. One Old Testament, one New. The first one begins it, and the second one ends it. The first one is Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, verses 8 through 10. From the 8th verse in the 3rd chapter, we read these words of the Lord. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself." Brothers and sisters, we need to ask ourselves the question. God has a moment for us. God has a word for us. But where are we hiding? What trees are we hiding behind? What things in our lives are we hiding behind that we know we are naked because our sin is out, and we're afraid to hear that word from God, which can transform us and bring us back to that right relationship? From the very beginning, this has been the reality. Is it yet the reality today? Turn in your Bibles to John in the 10th chapter. This entire book is the Word of God. Can I get an amen? Amen? But if you have a red letter Bible, the things that Jesus speaks are in red. Because this, you know, this is one of those things that I think is kind of funny, because I've taught you all, if God says it once, it's, if He says it's twice, it's, if He says it three times, this is a third time, okay? It's in red. We know God Himself spoke these things while He was here with us. And God said from verse 14, I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. And then continuing on, moving to verse 27, he says again, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hands. I and the Father are one. When we read those words, when we come to that place of knowing that if we want to understand God's voice, if we want to know God's voice, how does a baby know its mother's voice? It has spent 9 months in the womb listening to that voice, becoming so personally connected to that voice. Today, and we know medically that this is true, today we have fathers who are using amplifiers, and they're putting them on their mommy's babies or on their mommy's belly, and dad is talking, so the baby recognizes them when they come out, so that there's a bond there. I guess we're jealous, ladies. We need to understand God wants us to get in close proximity to Him. That's how we know the shepherd's voice. A shepherd doesn't lead from miles away. He leads from the very same place. In fact, He's in front. He's not driving. He's calling. How do you get sheep to follow you? You call them with your voice. Does God have a word for you? Yes, most definitely. And in that word is the peace of God. In that word is the transforming grace of God. In that word is the life of God Himself. And He wants to speak that word to us every day. Out there in our world, there are people who do not know God. Do you know who I'm talking about? And do you realize, you know, we just saw a young woman over in Iran. She is living a life now. That was filmed in 2011. Did you see that? That was filmed in 2011. Okay, Voice of the Martyrs. This stuff's real. That's not make-believe. That's real. We need to understand that young woman may already be dead. Her mother may already be dead, because if they were found out to be apostates, they would be stoned. But God transformed her life to the point where she said, I will give my life for you. Because all of a sudden, she was going to make a mockery of Jesus to better Allah, right? What happens? Did Allah speak to her? Did Allah do anything for her? The moment she said, okay, let's try this Jesus. What happened? Life. Mom got cured. Healing. Restoration. Hope. Her despair was washed away. Does God have a word just for you? Are you listening? Are you getting away? Are you becoming active in seeking Him? Next week is Palm Sunday. It's Passion Sunday. I'm not looking at Palm Sunday because He's already come, okay? The triumphal entry was already made. There's another entry that's getting ready to take place. That's a hallelujah, amen. But it's also a we need to get busy. We need to raise up our little ones. We need to teach them so that they are in the Lord. You know, I've had people say to me, and rightfully so, our young people, well, what's the purpose of it all if Jesus is coming? The purpose of it all is, will He find faith when He comes? The purpose of it all is, are we willing to work at it to the end? We don't know when the end is. It may be 50 years from now. I don't think it's going to be that long. It may be tomorrow. I think there's too many things that have to happen for it to happen tomorrow. But, hey, God's miraculous. He can make all those things happen in one day. But what I do know is this. Until that time comes, you may be the very one. As that young woman stood in her kitchen getting ready to take those pills, and her mom just happens to flick on the TV. You may be that one that is entering into their life at that very moment to speak that one word to keep them from jumping off the bridge, Mitch. To keep them from committing suicide on the internet. To keep them alive. Because Christ in you is wanting to use you to give someone else a Rhema moment. You know, Rhema moments work that way. That sometimes we're not just the recipient, but we're the deliverer. We need to understand that a lot of times a Rhema moment isn't just for me, but it's for many others as well. Because God does not let His voice go out and return void, but it will accomplish the very thing to which it has been sent. For Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I want to end with this knowledge that God cares for our hurts. He wants to heal our pain. He wants to take our burdens. And He wants to set each of us on the path of eternity. Now. Not later. Now. How do I know that? Turn to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. What's that? Psalm 23. Would you recite it with me? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And can I get an amen?
Amen.
That is our hope. He is the good shepherd, and he is in front of us, calling us to him every moment of every day. Yes, he has a word for you. Next week, find out what that word is meant for. The word of God, it's for each of us. He knows where you hurt. He knows what you're afraid of. He knows what's holding you back. Seek him out. Seek him out. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to give you a hope and a future, not to harm you." But you see, it doesn't end there. It says, "When you pray to me with all your heart," catch this, "I will be found by you, declares the Lord." How can he say, "I will be found by you," lest he knows he's already coming to us with that word? Let us pray. Gracious Father, we thank you so much that you have loved us and you have given us the hope of your love. For Lord, we deserve none of these things that you have laid out for us. But Lord, we know you want to have that wonderful relationship that brings us to life. You want to speak the word of life into our lives. But Lord, we've got to get out of this world. We have got to remember that we are to be separate from it. That yes, we live in it, but our home is not here. We live in the kingdom. For the kingdom of heaven is nigh. And Lord, to that we come this day. We ask, Father, that you would bless us, that you would allow us to go out from this place living that new life, understanding that in every moment of every day, you have a word for us to move us forward into the glory that is your grace. And may we be found truly holding to it. For Lord, you have loved us before we loved you. And you continue to love us in spite of what we do. But may we have the heart to turn back to you in Christ Jesus. Amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.